Blog Talk Radio.
All right, well, thanks for being with us tonight. We're glad to be back on the air with you here on the Private Officer Radio Show. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Private Officer Beat on the new Public Safety Radio Network. Glad that you are joining us live here once again for another episode of the Private Officer Beat. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International. I've kind of gotten away from saying that and have had a few emails over the last 4 or 5 months asking who our show host is and a little bit about who they are and so on and so forth. So let me say it again. My name is Rick McCann, and I am the founder and CEO of Private Officer International, as well as Armor College, a public safety school. Well, it's great to be behind the microphone again. We brought to you a couple of shows last week. We talked a little bit about everything that has been happening up and down this company from the top to the bottom and all of the great things that have happened over the last 2 or 3 months. A lot of great changes. For one, as you already have noticed, this is no longer the Private Officer Radio Network, but the Public Safety Radio Network. And that's because we want to bring in more people from various areas of the public safety and security fields, not just private security. We have often talked on our radio shows over the last 8 years about law enforcement, about loss prevention, about mental health and emergency responders and fire service, and we've had many guests from those areas on our show. And so we've had some people over the past few years, since we've had the radio program, ask about why we don't have shows that host the EMS community or fire service or law enforcement or whatever. And I wanted to embrace all of the public safety aspects, really, and not just private security, because it's great to talk about all of the private security areas of the field, and there are tons, everything from uniform security to nuclear to loss prevention to fraud investigation to alarm, electronic, there's a whole gamut of things involved in the private security world these days. It's not like, back in the Pinkerton days when they guarded the train and the mail and, No, this world has changed, and the private security business has changed, but so has public safety, and much of public safety now is really entwined into the security world. And so, after a number of years of considering it, it takes a while sometimes. We're a little slow sometimes to respond, to react. Okay, don't call me slow. I just try to make prudent decisions based on information that we have. And we don't want to make a lot of changes unnecessarily to something that's working well. And the POI radio show has worked well over the years. 8 years. We're coming into our 8th year. Wow. It's unbelievable. Oh, wow. Right now, we're almost at 400 shows. That's about 50 shows a year. About one a week. We do take some time off, during the summer and sometimes around Christmas. And as we did this past year, we took a couple of months off because we were extremely busy. But in 8 years of doing this radio show, I've always tried to maintain the topics to include mainly that involving private security. But we have expanded over the last few years to include law enforcement and first responders of other areas. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is if you are a talk show host, you have your own podcast or a radio show, and you're listening to my show today, I want to invite you to join the new Public Safety Radio Network, and we'll be glad to host your show on our network, whether it be EMS or fire service or anything relating to the public safety or private security industry. I had an email asking just before Christmas if this mental health specialist could host a show or talk on my show about the mental health issues of law enforcement and first responders and security. And I said, sure. And then we couldn't get together in a schedule and a time, and that kind of passed by. But if you are a specialist in an area relating to security or law enforcement or anything in public safety, definitely contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We'd love to talk with you about being part of our new Public Safety Radio Network. The more information that we can disseminate, the more people, the more specialists that we can network with, the better it's going to be for us, for our members, for the security field, and everyone else that we touch, that we come into contact with, to have a broad spectrum of information, of training, of news, products, and they don't have to listen to me all the time. They could turn over and change over to one of these other great public safety radio shows that's going to be soon broadcasted here on the new Public Safety Radio Network. Isn't that great for you? Now, I'm not going to take a break. I'm still going to have my shows, but other people will have an opportunity to relate other new information and training that you may not be aware of or haven't heard of or might need a refresher on. So this is going to be great, and I'm looking forward to it. So again, if you'd like to host your radio show on our new platform and our new radio network, please contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. All right, well, now you know who I am. That gets that out of the way. I also like to remind people that you can always send us an email while we're on the air at radio@privateofficer.com. That comes up on my screen. I'll get it. I'll respond to you either on air or by email, whichever you prefer. Brett Davis monitors all of the going-ons while we're on air, controls everything happening, so he'll also make sure that it comes up over here on my screen and that we get back to you and acknowledge you and take care of answering whatever you might need answering, or maybe you just have a comment. Be happy to tell you. If you'd like to submit your birthdays, you can also do that. We have gotten away from that aspect of the radio show for quite some time now, but if you'd like to have your birthday announced on the radio program, just send it to radio@privateofficer.com. Include the person's name and their month and day. You don't have to include the age. Now, you know, a lot of guys are getting funny about that stuff lately. You ask, hey, how old are you? And they go, none of your business. What does it matter? I'm as old as I am. Yeah, you know, it used to be just women were kind of funny like that, but, you know, some guys are starting to be that way. I'm not one of them. Just because I dyed my hair and made it all black again. No, not really. I threaten to do that every time I go into my barbershop or hairstylist, I should say. I say the same thing. Go ahead and color it this time. But I know a lot of people are doing that, a lot of guys, but I'm not like that. I'm not getting a petty, meddy, deady, whatever the heck they are either. It's good for those of you who do, but I could use a little attention. I could use a little personal attention, but I just feel kind of funny about that stuff. So I take care of my own nails, and I'm not going to color my hair. And if I choose to color my hair at any point, I'll just buy something in a bottle and comb it on or spray it on or, I don't know, soak it on. I'll do it myself. I just can't see going in and having somebody do that. But If you want to reveal your age or the person that you're submitting reveal their age, feel free to. Otherwise, just include the month and the day, and we'll be happy to announce their birthday. Be sure also to notify us of any breaking news in your area or any person that may have recently been presented an award or needs to be presented an award. We'd love to handle that as well. We have a great awards program at Private Officer International, and we recognize people every month. Now, I want to just confess, we've kind of gotten away from publicizing the people that we recognize. We don't really mention it too often here on the radio show. We don't really put it out in our news bulletins or on the website, but we're going to get back to the basics this year. That's one of the promises that I've made to our staff, myself, and to our members. So we will again be recognizing anyone deserving of an award, and anyone that we do issue an award to, we'll make sure that you get publicly recognized. We do issue a press release, but who knows who sees those. So we will publicize as much as we can all deserving folks receiving an award from Private Officer International or your employer. You don't have to be a member, by the way. People always say, I'm not a member. I'm not going to bother you. I'm not going to email you. I'm not going to contact. Well, you don't have to be a member to be recognized. If you should be recognized for something that you've done, for an award that you have been presented, we want to recognize you as well. So please send it to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We want to include you, member or not, to recognize you and to get the word out about the great things that you have done. So be looking for that on our website, on our social media, starting this month, February. We're going to get back to basics, back to the beginnings, and making sure that folks get recognized. So send any information, any news, any birthdays, any awards, any training events, send all of that to the helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We'll disseminate it. We'll recognize you. We'll do everything we can, member or not, to get that information out. Talking about social media, you know, it's been a while. It has been a few months. It's been too long, to be honest with you. We want to make sure that if you're a new listener, a new member, a new follower, that you get all of the contact information for us. 24/7, you can contact us at the helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. For any of your questions, needs, whether you're a member or not, somebody will respond to you, I guarantee you, within a short amount of time. If they can't help you, they're going to forward it to the appropriate person, as well as send you an email to let you know what's happening. So that you're not sitting there thinking, I guess they're not going to respond, I guess they're not going to answer, I guess they don't care. I'm a member, I paid my member's dues, and they don't care. They got their money. We're not like that, folks. We're not like that. Member or non-member, even if your membership has expired, we'll help you. We'll respond to you. We'll acknowledge you. And hopefully we'll be able to answer your question or assist you in whatever it is that you got going on. Sometimes we can and sometimes we can't. Most of the time we can, though, honestly, frankly. So we have a lot of social media. And I just want to let you know that if you want to follow us on Twitter, that's the best place to be because it's instant. We're on that thing 24/7. Myself, the help desk. The help desk encompasses all of our news as well. Sometimes the tweet is me and sometimes it is our help desk. So I guess from now on I need to differentiate, if it's me or not. I guess I'll put something beside it to let you know who is tweeting that information. Anyways, if you want to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, our own POI forums, or a number of other social media sites that we have, all that you have to do is go to our website at privateofficer.com and follow us from a link right there on that website. Now, if you don't see it, if you don't know if we're on a particular forum or social media, simply email us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. I promise you, somebody will respond to you and direct you, answer your question, whatever whatever they need to do, they're going to take care of it for you. So it's great to have as many followers as we do on our social media. And, you know, it's a wonderful place to network, a wonderful place to stay in touch with people, a wonderful place to market, to get our word out, to get our company information out. And if you're not following us, if you're not there, you're definitely missing out. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back right after these messages. All right, I was just reminded that a lot of times people don't know what's happening at POI. They don't know about all of the training, free or discount training available. They don't know about the special events, the conference calls, the various things that we have going on. But we do have a lot happening. And we try to post that information on our website, at least with a link on the front page. We definitely put it in our tweets on a regular basis. And we used to send out a newsletter every month. This was a while back. It's been a couple of years, actually. To all of our members that gave a rundown of everything happening that month, along with some of the more important news items and things happening around POI. And now, of course, around Armor College. But we got away from that because there was so much information going on. We were distributing it so many different ways on our forums, our social media, the radio show, our website, and people just, you know, they didn't know where to look. There was so many places to look, they just didn't know the best place. And so they kind of gave up on it. We got away from posting the calendar of events and training for that month. But that's something else that we need to look at doing again. We need to have one central location. And I think we're going to use our forums to do that. Because our forums have been, over the last couple of years, dying, to be honest with you. They've gone from being robust and active to being pretty boring and infrequently used. And maybe we can spice it up by posting members-only information on the forums. Maybe that will draw people, members, back to the forum. I don't know. We've tried a number of things. We've given away prizes. We've enticed people with free training. We've threatened to shut it down. But we're going to look at where best to post our monthly agenda. I will tell you, social media is one of those locations that we still use and will always use. So please follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Even if you don't like social media, you don't have to follow anybody else. And nobody else is going to follow you. You can just follow POI in Armor. Hey, we could be your only follower, and you could be our follower, and that's where you'll be informed. That's where you'll be engaged. But we're looking, and that's something that we'll bring up in our next advisory meeting coming up this month. In fact, I'm writing it down right now, where to post our agenda so that everyone knows what's happening. And if you have a recommendation, here's the other thing I want to encourage you. If you have comments, recommendations, ideas, things that you think that POI should be doing or Armor College should be offering, send it to us at Help Desk or send it to me personally, rickm@privateofficer.com. We want to hear from you. We want to engage you. We want you to be involved. If you don't speak up, we don't know what's on your mind. I don't read minds. And my crystal ball was broken last year. So, I don't know unless you contact us and tell us what your thoughts are. Makes sense, right?
So we're going to figure out where to post our agenda, where to post all of our news, all of our calendar of events, and we'll let you know within the next week or two. In the meantime, if you have any comments, thoughts, whatever, send it to helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Same thing with courses, training, events. If you want to see something in your area, you want us to add a certain course, please contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Helpdesk@privateofficer.com is your central contact location. They don't necessarily have the answer or the authority to do various things, but they'll refer it. They'll forward it to the appropriate person, usually me or Kyle or someone else, depending on what it's involving. And we will respond to you in a very reasonable short amount of time. All right, I also want to bring up a couple of other things real quick about Armored College. If you haven't gone to our website recently, armoredcollege.org, please do so today. We mentioned in the last broadcast that a lot of things are changing at POI and Armored College. We are growing, expanding, a ton of things happening, and that is truly the case. Check out armoredcollege.org today. Armored College, I'm going to do a whole segment on Armored College coming up this month, so I won't expound too much on that particular topic, but I want to tell you that Armored College is your best friend in the business, because we now have over 300 courses, certifications, and programs to offer. We are one of the most unique schools in the nation. Everything that we do is accredited by someone somewhere who has the authority to accreditate. And we're going to discuss that, like I said, in a special edition all about Armored College coming up this month. But as a POI member, you do get a discount in all courses on top of any other specialties. We do offer scholarships. We offer you the opportunity to be financed. If you're not sure about what benefit it is to you, contact us, not at helpdesk@privateofficer.com, but at helpdesk@armoredcollege.org. We're going to forward this special edition about Armored College out to everyone, every member, in the next few weeks. So you'll have it, you'll be able to listen to it, and it will be very informative as to our courses, our accreditation, our expansion, how it really will benefit you as a POI member to be involved, and opportunities to be employed as an instructor or possibly franchise or become an independent operator or do other things that could benefit you financially and in the long haul, in the long term. But be looking forward, be looking for that over the next few weeks, and we'll be sending that out. If you don't receive it by the end of the month, be sure to contact us at helpdesk@armoredcollege.org. helpdesk@armoredcollege.org. A lot of people think that we have too much going on. I've actually heard that from some of our members. Well, you've got college now, you've got training online, you've got POI, you've got so many things that you're putting out there, and blah, 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 blah. As a business owner since the 1980s, all public safety and private security related, I can tell you, as any business owner will tell you, that if you're a one-horse show, if you're a one-pony show, if you only have one product, one item, you're not going to be very successful. Ever walk into Walmart and count the thousands of products they have on their shelves. They don't just have a menswear department. They don't just have an automotive section. They're not just offering shoes to boys. They're offering shoes to girls, men, women, and everyone in between. They offer groceries. They offer everything under the sun. Why is that? Because they want to encompass as many people as possible. You might not like women's shoes. You might be a man, so they sell men's shoes. You might not like sneakers, tennis shoes. You might be a dressy shoe kind of guy, so they sell dressy shoes. You might be all about hardware, paint, home repair, and they sell all those products. Many different brands and types and kinds and colors. If you need it, they probably have it. And if you ever watch Shark Tank or any of those other investor type shows or have dealt with any business training, they will tell you the same thing. You can't have one or two things. You've got to be able to garner the market share. In any business, there's a market. Walmart does not have 100% of the retail market, but they have a large percentage, but not all of it. But the more items that they can sell, the more variety that they can have in their store, the more departments encompassing dozens of categories that they can have available to anyone, the bigger their market share, because they will have something that will appeal to someone, the majority. Women love to shop, but they don't love to shop for hardware. They're not necessarily into automotive, but they love clothing. They love domestic things, curtains, shoes, food. So they appeal to the mass market. And what I have always done in my years of business ownership is I have tried to cover as many aspects of my related business as possible. Whether it be contract security, I covered alarm response long before it was a popular service to offer. I covered canine service before any others in my area. I covered HUD specialized security, parking enforcement using parking booths, so on and so forth. Because the more services that we could offer, and not only offer, but do it better than the next guy, the bigger market share I was going to have, and the bigger company I was going to have, and ultimately the more money I could make. As with any business, that's what it all boils down to. Yes, we are a business, and I make no apology for that, never have. But I want to tell you that we are a very caring business. We are a business that has been founded on the principles of helping the frontline security officer, public safety officer, and now the sworn or non-sworn officer. We are here for you. If you're a member of POI, we want to do everything we can. We want to offer you the best services, the best member benefits, the best training within reasonable pricing structure so that it's something that everyone should be able to afford. That's why we've began offering financing at Armor College. We are a business, but we are structured in a manner where we put our members, our customers, first. We'll be right back after this commercial. All right, we are back from those commercials. Yay! we don't really have to have commercials. They're not really commercials. Those were public service announcements, PSAs. And we try to help good causes to get their message out. And we screen them and look at whether or not they are conducive to what we're trying to do. And if they are, then we go ahead and broadcast them during our radio shows. But if you are interested in advertising on the new Public Safety Radio Network, the Private Officer Beat Radio Show, or our LP Zone, or the legal side of things, be sure to send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We do 1,000% allow advertisement, but we are very particular, and that's why you don't see a lot of advertisement on our website or our news media products or the radio show. We're very particular. So if you're interested, we'll probably be able to consider it. Send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. And if you need more information about anything that we do, like I said, helpdesk@privateofficer.com will be your initial contact. And then someone will get back with you. All right, just want to spend a couple of minutes. I don't want to say rehashing or reviewing. Maybe it's reviewing. The deaths of security officers in January of this year and the deaths of security officers in 2014 are again beginning to creep up. Now, in the last couple of years, the deaths of security officers have gone down a little bit, but they are again increasing, as is the number of security officers, loss prevention officers, public safety, campus security, being assaulted and injured in the line of duty. In 2014, we had just over 75 security officers, I believe, killed in the line of duty. I'm not looking at those statistics right now. Let me see if I can pull those up. Brett, can you get those for me real quick? And that's down a little bit from previous years. And I might pat myself on the back and say, hey, you know, it's all because of Private Officer International. You know, it's all because we've been doing a great job. It's all because we've had the Below 50 program out there where we're asking people to pledge to be safe and to take training and so on and so forth. I could say it's all because of what we're doing, but the fact is that's not true. We are doing our best. We're not doing an adequate amount of helping to reduce the deaths because we're not reaching enough people. We need to reach more people. But the death numbers, the death tolls have gone down in the last few years. But in the same token, the number of injuries and shootings and so forth have gone up. And they continue to go up, and they won't come down until things in the security and public safety industry change. And the change must begin with you, your employer. It must begin with us. And without going into a lot of hoopla about, oh, the security industry doesn't care about anything but money and blah, blah. And that's true, honestly. You know, unfortunately, that is true. But we have to change. And although there's been some good signs of change, lower deaths, there's been some bad signs of injuries and shootings and use of force and security officers killing people unreasonably and violating the law and being arrested. It's just an endless cycle. Sometimes very discouraging when you're on this side of the desk. All right, thanks, Brett. In 2014, five areas where most injuries and armed confrontations and deaths of security were highlighted. Nightclubs, bars, adult entertainment, and restaurants that serve alcohol. No surprise here. That's made the list for the last 11 years since we've been doing this. When you put alcohol and weapons and people that are just full of themselves and possibly high on drugs all together in a confined space, something's going to blow up. Someone's going to accidentally bump into someone. Someone's going to be looking to, you know, somebody else's girlfriend or boyfriend, and maybe the other person's going to get the wrong, you know, thought, or maybe they misread what the intent was. Whatever the problem, whatever the case, it's going to blow the situation sky high, and before you know it, you got a fight. You got people who are being injured, and security is being involved, and sometimes they're armed, and sometimes they're not, and sometimes they have good training, and sometimes, most of the time, they don't, and before you know it, somebody's injured or killed. And nightclubs have always made the top five. The second area where most injuries and deaths occur, mainly injuries, thankfully, is loss prevention and retail security, including shopping malls, shopping centers, big box stores, specialty retailers, and pharmacies. And the reason for that, again, we've talked about this in previous shows, and when I do the LP zone, it's obvious. I mean, hey, you know, you're stopping people. You're detaining people. Most of the time, they know they're being arrested. Sometimes they're fugitives and felons and people that are on probation, and they don't want to go back to the big house. They don't want to go back to prison. So they're going to fight. They're going to resist. They're going to use whatever weapons, whatever opportunities they have to assault you, to injure, to kill, to get away. And sometimes that's their own vehicle that's used as a weapon. And in the last 5 years, we've seen more armed confrontations with knives and guns by shoplifters against loss prevention than in any time before. I've mentioned before as well that I've been in loss prevention for eight plus years. I was an LP agent. I caught thousands of shoplifters. I was a district loss prevention manager, a trainer. And I can tell you that in all of my experiences, we only saw one or two weapons of any kind on a yearly basis. We got assaulted. We had some resistance, but it was minimal. Most of the time, they just ran away, pushed away. They didn't stand there and fight. They didn't stand there and pull a knife. They didn't pepper spray us, no. But that is the norm these days. As we have a news department, as we monitor retail area of security, we see hundreds of assaults every week of loss prevention, mall security, private security in retail environments. And so this is really no surprise that this also has been in the top five for the last 11 years. Residential properties, including apartments, condominiums, long-term hotels, homeowner associations. Again, you have hundreds and sometimes thousands of people in apartments and condominiums and homeowner association complexes. You have a city within the city. And as a security officer, you're responding to every type of call that would occur in any town or any city, maybe not the same volume, but you're responding to the disorderly conducts, the assault, the domestic violence, the trespassing, the burglaries, the car thefts, the car burglaries, all of it. And so, yeah, you're going to be in a situation where you could be assaulted, injured, or even killed because you're confronting perpetrators. You are the front line. You're the investigator. You're the responding officer. And we're seeing residential assaults and murders of security officers increase 17% last year. And if we look at the last 11 years, it probably has increased about 30%. Armored cars, we've seen some security officers shot. We've seen a couple killed last year. It depends. Armored car robberies and shootings fluctuate. They go up and down. Sometimes it's because of the economy. Sometimes it's because there's a large law enforcement push, undercover FBI and state agents who track those who would rob armored cars or who have the propensity to do so, and they can stop these situations. And sometimes it's just who knows what that causes armored car robberies and shootings to go up or down. This year and last year, they were up again. They had been down for a few years, but they're up again. And general security assignments was the other area that saw the most armed confrontations and death of security personnel. Those are offices, mixed-use complexes, special events, patrol assignments. A lot of places these days are not only residential, but they're commercial. They may have apartments or condominiums on the upper 6, 10, 12 floors, and 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 floors below that are commercial space, retail, dental, doctor, mixed use, they call it, mixed use complexes. And so that summarizes really where these injuries and deaths most likely occurred. The states that saw the most deaths, and again, unfortunately, these states continue to top the list year after year after year after year. California, Texas, New York, Florida, Georgia, Pennsylvania. If you are in any of those states, I encourage you to go get as much training in use of force and self-defense and de-escalation and crisis management as you possibly can get. Some of it's free, some of it's free online, some of it's free in person, some of it's discounted. We have a lot of discounted courses online and on campus and on site. Take advantage of all of the training that you possibly can. The other states that had multiple deaths of security personnel was Alabama, Arizona, Colorado, Missouri, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, and West Virginia. Those places had multiple deaths. We have confirmed last year 75 deaths. More than 293,000 injuries of security personnel occurred last year. 293,000. That means 293,000 workplace violence incidents at the bare minimum. Because every assault is a workplace violence. Every death is a workplace violence. We stated before that OSHA and the U.S. Department of Justice said that the private security industry probably faces between 3 and 500,000 cases of workplace violence every single year. It doesn't mean anyone's been injured. It doesn't mean that anyone's been shot. It just means workplace violence, a threat of injury, a threat of bodily harm, pushing, shoving, threatening, is workplace violence. Many people don't know how to identify workplace violence. They don't know really what it is. How does the government, how do they define it? We have many courses available. We've talked about this, about workplace violence before, and we'll be happy to teach you to talk with you about it if you need more information. But identifying workplace violence is very important. So last year, we had 75 confirmed security officer deaths, 85 to 90 estimated, because we often do not get the details necessary to confirm it. We know a shooting of a security person may have taken place, or maybe they died. We're not able to determine that. It's never released, and that's it. That's as far as we can take it. Sometimes the media doesn't pick it up, and sometimes the police doesn't issue a press release. So we don't know that it's occurred, and sometimes we just miss it completely. Sometimes it's been the person's classification of their job has been misdiagnosed, misdefined, and sometimes they say that they're a doorman when really they're a security agent. Sometimes they call them, a clerk. Last year we had a situation where the news story said that a store convenience clerk was shot and killed during a robbery. We saw that news article, and some of the details sounded like they were actually a security officer, and it was through our investigation, took almost 2.5 weeks, we determined it was a security officer that was killed. We were able to define his position, find out who his employer was, it was a contract agency, and contact the authorities to make sure that that was recorded as a security officer death. It's not the first time. This happens pretty frequently. But if we're unable to define the person's position, or unable to confirm the death, if we can at least confirm that the newspaper says it was a guard or a bouncer or a security officer, even if we can't confirm the death, we count that. So we have to also estimate, another 10 to 15% that we've missed along the way. So we estimate 85 this past year security officers killed in the line of duty on the low end. That's the low end. Possibly it could have been up to 100. We don't know. And unfortunately, the Department of Labor is also off in their statistical data because they collect it from states, and they're often, incorrect as well. They misidentify the position of the person. They don't include certain situations, like a person having a heart attack while at work. Well, that's an on-duty death. Sometimes they're classified as a medical illness issue. But as with law enforcement, if you're on duty and you have a heart attack, that's an on-duty death. If you're in law enforcement and you're training and you die, you're considered to be on duty. That's a line of duty death. And so that's how we calculate and collect statistical data on line of duty deaths of private security personnel. And we do encompass bouncers, nightclub security, loss prevention, proprietary security, contract security, private police, public safety, campus officers that are non-sworn, and law enforcement if they are working off-duty in the capacity of a private security officer. I know people question that. But if the law enforcement officer is off-duty and he's working at the hotel or the nightclub, he's a security officer. And he's being paid not by the police agency, but by the customer, by the client, the establishment. And so he is included, if he's killed in the line of duty at that point, in our statistics, and rightfully so. Now we get into 2015. Well, 2015 is not looking too hot. There have been about 10 deaths in January. And those deaths were pretty violent. Many involved shootings, the most advertised shooting in recent years was a security officer in California who was, it was during New Year's Day this year, who was at a skating rink or bowling alley, and he became involved in a shootout and was killed. So it got a lot of publicity because it was New Year's and because he was well-liked. He was not only a security officer, he was actually the owner of Big Wills, I believe it was called, security company in California. And so the month of January saw 9 security officer deaths, and that's a lot. And February, we're only in the second day of the month, we've seen 6 security officers shot in the last 36 hours, sorry about that. I don't know if there's been any deaths. Our news department hasn't relayed anything to me. Maybe there are some pending. Maybe there are some security officers critical that were involved who have been shot. I'm sure we'll know that probably within the next day or two. Usually by Wednesday, we get all the recaps, all the information about what happened Saturday and Sunday, because it generally funnels through the news system, and by Tuesday, Wednesday at the latest, but usually Tuesday, we have a pretty good concept or view or idea of how many security personnel were killed or injured the week before or the weekend, because the weekend is where most of this activity occurs, actually, at nightclubs and restaurants, apartment complexes, and so forth. So this month, February, if those 6 shootings are any indication of what the rest of the month is going to look like, we're in trouble. And if the last month and the last 36, 48 hours of this month is an indication as to the rest of the year, we're in trouble. Because that will show that the deaths are again spiking, going up after having dropped for the last couple of years. One of the things that I definitely notice in our news reports and in talking with security and campus officers across the country and doing all the training that I do across the country, one of the things that I'm noticing, and this is a direct correlation to the injuries and deaths of security personnel, is that more and more security officers are allowed to detain, confront, arrest suspicious persons, persons involved in criminal activity, shoplifters. And whenever you have security on the front line, who are proactive, who are investigating, who are detaining, you're obviously going to have more physical confrontations, more physical resistance, more assaults, and more deaths. And you're also going to have more use of force, lethal and non-lethal, by private security personnel. It's just, it goes hand in hand. And we've noticed that more security companies are advertising as tactical agencies. More security contract agencies are putting themselves out there to be private police, basically. And yes, 27 or 28 states now do allow some aspect of private police, special police, company police. But, you know, from what we're seeing, these are just everyday average security companies who are taking over more high-risk properties, more proactive duties. And I'm not saying that's wrong or bad, but it is a direct correlation, a direct result in the injuries and the deaths. And I will tell you one other thing that I personally know to be true.
We have seen this for about 3, 4, 5 years now. I've mentioned it in many radio shows, many of my training presentations. I have said it loud and clear across the private security industry. I have told presidents of companies and those decision makers in contract security companies of all sizes that as long as the security industry believes in the one-size-fits-all concept, as long as they assign and schedule the security officer who has nothing but basic training, basic level 5, 10, 24-hour training in security, in the upper scales of security, in the upper dangerous areas, in accounts that they know there's been violence, and they put them there unarmed, unskilled, untrained, unsupervised, unmanaged, unequipped. The more we're going to see security officers injured and killed and injuring and killing others. When you have someone who barely has a GED, who is 18 years old, and you give him a gun and you put him out there at McDonald's in a bad neighborhood, what do you think he's going to do the moment that he has the opportunity to assert his authority? And what is he going to do the moment that that person that he's asserting his authority to resists or yells or speaks up? He's going to use some level of force. He doesn't know any better. He's a rookie, 18 years old, and he's got a gun. We've all been there. We all know the feeling. We all know the power. And yet, the one size fits all continues to be the way that security companies operate. It's time for us to schedule and place our personnel according to their experience and their training level and their skill level like anyone else. In order to be a firefighter, you don't just jump on the engine, grab the hose, and put out a house fire. You go through training and more training. Then you get a little job. We have a house fire. You stay outside. You ferry equipment over to the house. You drag the hose. You don't go inside. You don't go through, you know, the hiring process to be a cop. Okay, here's your gun and badge. Go shoot somebody. Respond to a murder in progress. Do whatever you want. No. Even after you get selected, even after you go through the academy, you go through a process where you ride with a field training officer. You go through a process where you take on the little job before you get to the big one, before you're allowed to have a police car, before you get a beat assigned to you. There's a process. But in the security world, you get hired, and tomorrow you're carrying a gun. You have a few hours of training if you're lucky, but you're on your own from there. It's time for change. It's time to change. I want to thank you for being with us tonight on the new Private Officer Beat here on the Public Safety Radio. That's all for tonight. We hope that you've enjoyed the show. Remember, have any questions or comments, submit it all to the help desk at privateofficer.com. That's all for tonight. We'll see you Wednesday on the LP Zone.